Well, good morning, church. Hope you brought your Bibles on this Lord's Day, Mother's Day. We're going to read about an interaction between our Lord and His mother. So we're going to read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Going to read about, I think, five verses here, verses 23 to 27. And I will just put in just a little note, a little something different in the outline or some fill in the blanks. I neglected to mention that last week and somebody said, hey, you got to tell us about this. And now personally, I don't like fill in the blanks because when they're there, I become so focused. The guy's got to say the word and I've got to fill it in just, you know, and I get distracted. I mean, some of y'all might like it. It's just a little different. So if you, hopefully it'll come in handy, but we're going to read, from John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 23, and if you have it, and if you are willing and able, I invite you to stand for the public reading of God's holy word as we find it here, inspired by the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle John, who was Jesus's best friend, And he records these events beginning in verse number 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. And so they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scripture. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and your kindness in creating us, giving us a life and breath, and placing us in the families that you had designed for us. And in this land, on this day, and in this place, that we could come together, unite our voices in song to you, our hearts in prayer to you, and Lord, unite our ears as we listen to your words. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and encouraging to your people. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, if there are any here that know you not, might they find a family of faith this day? I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, last week we began and started a new series entitled Crosswords. A little play on a word there of the crosswords. And on this Mother's Day, we have come to the second crossword, the second saying that our Savior said while he was upon the tree. And there are seven sayings that Jesus uttered while he was crucified, seven of them that are recorded for us. And the Holy Spirit saw to it that they were recorded, and they were recorded for our instruction, and they are recorded for our benefit. Now you might say that these seven sayings are the sacred seven. And the sacred seven are manna from heaven. They are our food indeed. I mean, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the manna that came down from heaven, and the words that fell from His lips, as well as He Himself and His person, is our food indeed. He is our manna, and His words are our food. And His bread, those of you that know how to make bread, as bread is kneaded and beaten and baked so that we can be nourished from it, so too the Son of God was pummeled and crushed in the fires of oppression. He is the bread of heaven. And the words that were squeezed out of Him, the words that were pressed out of Him in this process of the pain of the cross, these words are most precious and most glorious. They are, as we sang earlier, they are wonderful words of life. They are life-giving and life-instructing words. Now, we saw last week that the first crossword that was squeezed out of our Lord while He was upon the tree, the first crossword was a prayer. It was a prayer where He addresses His Father about His enemies. He turns to His Father and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That in the heat of persecution and at the height of His pain, Jesus relinquishes His anguish to the Father. He just gives it over to God. He didn't address His enemies. He addresses His Father. And He prayed for His persecutors and gave them over to God. That was the first crossword. And in the first crossword, Jesus addresses His Father. Well, now we come to the second crossword. The first crossword, He addresses His Father, but the second crossword, He addresses His mother. And so I think that this is a very, a fitting text for us to look at on this Mother's Day. And so on this Mother's Day, there's just going to be four main thoughts, or you might say four words that we're just going to kind of focus in on today. And the words are these: the devotion, pain, responsibility, and family. Those are our four words today. We're going to look at a mother's devotion. We're also going to try and observe a little bit about a mother's pain, and as well as the son's responsibility, the Son of God's responsibility to His mother. And then we're going to end up by noticing a new family. So that's kind of the direction of where we're going, and let's begin with a mother's devotion. Look at John 19 and verse 25. I read it just a moment ago. "Therefore the soldiers did these things." They had just crucified Him. They were dividing up His clothes there at the foot of the cross. But we see that there were some others there near the cross, because it says the soldiers did these things. "But standing by the cross of Jesus was His mother." What a scene that is. Think of it. Here Jesus is upon the cross, the soldiers down below gambling for His clothes, and there, within the shadow of the cross, stood Mary. What a remarkable scene, and what a remarkable woman Mary was. The angel said of her that she was blessed among women. Mary, she is to be honored because she is blessed among women. She was a woman of great faith because she believed what the angel said to her, lo, those decades before when she was a virgin and was told that she was going to be with child, and she had great faith. And here, when this child is dying on the tree before her, We see not only did she have great faith, but she was fearless. Think of the scene that Jesus was surrounded by a sea of enemies. All around him, the soldiers that had just crucified him, those who were mocking and cursing right beside him, and the whole crowd was there. He was surrounded by a sea of enemies. But in this sea of enemies, Jesus looks down and he sees some family. He sees Mary amongst all the enemies. What a scene. And oh, what a balm for a crushed soul of our Savior. Now, it is true that Jesus suffered alone. He had to do the deed alone, and only he could do it. But there was someone close. There was someone by his side. Only he could bear what he had to do. But his mother was close, and his mother was there and observing it all. She was there, not on her face and not kneeling, but she was standing by the cross of Christ. Oh, think of it. Judas had betrayed him. His familiar friend, the one of the 12, and he had come and he had betrayed him with a kiss. But the first one to ever kiss the Lord Jesus Christ was there. The first one to kiss him was standing by the cross of Jesus. After they arrested him in the garden, the scripture tells us in Matthew that all the disciples forsook him and fled. All of the disciples, they left him alone. They forsook him and fled. But now here at the cross, we see that they all fled except this one who was the one who tucked him into bed when he was but a babe. During his ministry, he healed the crowds. He taught them. And now these crowds who were before him have turned on him and they were calling for his death. But his mother walked with him. And his mother wept for him. As he was carrying part of the cross and Simon along with him, we read in Luke 23 and verse number 27 that as he was going to the place of crucifixion, to the place of the skull, and surrounded by these crowds, there were some women right there with him, weeping for him. There were four mentioned here, and Mary's one of the four, the first of the four, so I'm sure she was walking with him along the way. The leaders rejected him, but his mother's presence supported him. The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. And his mother is standing by his side. The soldiers stripped him of his clothes. But the one woman who first dressed him was devoted to him. She is the one that swaddled him at his birth. And she is the one that stood beside him at his death. I tell you, in this text, we see a mother's devotion. Because Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, exhibited one of the greatest qualities of motherhood that could ever be shown. The greatest quality of motherhood that mothers show, that Mary showed here, is that she was there. Mothers are there. They are present. They are available. They are in proximity of their progeny. I tell you, this is a glorious trait of a good and godly mother, which Mary was. It is her crown jewel to have a consistent presence with her children. And Mary exhibited this. She was standing right there when everybody else had fled. I tell you, on this Mother's Day, if you had a mother that was there, you know what I'm talking about. If you had a mother that was there, you are truly blessed. Amen. What a gift of God to have a mama that's close. And Jesus had that in Mary. Now Mary is honored among a women, and because she did have great faith. But the scriptures also tell us something about Mary, that Mary, and even with her interactions with her eldest son Jesus, she was not without doubts about her son. You can just imagine the miraculous conception and the birth of this child, and you know, I'm sure she had questions. In fact, it says a couple of different times that she was treasuring these things up in her heart at the age when Jesus was 12, and when he was saying he had to be about her father's business, Jesus said he had to be about his father's business. It says in Luke 2:51 that she was thinking about this. You know, what is this all about? You know, and she was treasuring them up in his heart. In fact, there's an account in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21. Where Jesus comes home and he's been teaching, and he comes to his hometown, and his family tries to get through all of these crowds and tries to get to him because they think he's crazy. They think, man, he might have just lost his mind, and so they kind of want to get some control of him and bring him back into the homestead because things just kind of seem out of sorts. In fact, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 31, it says that it was his mother as well as his brothers that were there. They were coming to corral him because they had some doubts about him. And I'm sure Mary had doubts. Mary had doubts about Jesus. But Mary was devoted to Jesus. Because though she had doubts, where was she when he died? She was standing by the cross of Christ. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Mary had faults, but she had great faith. And she was there. She was there amongst all the turmoil and everything, but she was there. Doubts and faults, all of it. But she had faith and she was fearless. And in the sea of enemies, she was standing by her son. Oh, what an example for us. In our times of doubts, in the sea of enemies of our Christ, do we stand before him? Well, we see Mary, that she was a devoted mother, a mother's devotion. But I want us to not just notice her devotion, but her pain. A mother's pain. Now, one thing about mothers, mothers experience great pain in bringing a child into this world. I've observed it, been blessed to observe it on many occasions. But I've never experienced it. A man can't relate to that. In fact, my mom's reminded me several times about the 19 and a half hours of labor, you know, that she had to endure to get me here. And so mothers do experience great pain bringing a child into this world. But do you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, experience great pain watching her child leave this world? I mean, not just the pain bringing him into the world, But the pain of watching him on the cross as he is leaving this world. She was standing there at the foot of the cross in the shadow of his death. And there was the son of her womb hanging, wounded, and dying. What pain this must have caused his mother. In fact, 40 days after the birth of Jesus Christ, there was a prophecy given by a man named Simeon. In fact, let me just read it here. In Luke chapter 2, verses 33 to 35, Mary and Joseph had taken Jesus in, according to the law, 40 days after his birth to do for him. And so they go to Jerusalem, and they're met by a couple of characters, one Simeon and Anna. But it's in verse 33, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. The Simeon guy just snatched up the child Jesus in his arms and just says, I can die now because I've seen your salvation. And he begins, you know, telling him these amazing things about the Lord Jesus Christ, this baby. And then notice verse 34, and Simeon blessed them. He blesses Mary. And he said to Mary, his mother. So here's this prophet, and he's going to tell Mary four things. He says, behold this child, this 40-day-old child that he had in his arm. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. One of the four things that Simeon told Mary when Jesus was but 40 days old, he said a sword is going to pierce even your own soul. And you see that as Mary, the mother of Christ, was standing by his cross, a sword was piercing Mary's soul as she watched her son suffer. I mean, words cannot express the pain of this devoted mother who was there. This mother who as a child probably wiped a tear, but now could not do so. Could not wipe away the blood from his brow. And as the blood flowed, I am sure that his mother groaned. As the sword was piercing his side and out came the blood and the water, I am sure that a sword was piercing her own soul as well. Imagine the scene and a mother's pain. And so on this Mother's Day, don't forget a mother's pain. The Bible speaks of life the way that it is. And it doesn't hide the pain of life. And mothers experience a great pain in childbirth, probably even greater pain in child rearing. But Mary experienced maybe the greatest pain in watching her child dying. And so on this Mother's Day, think about the pain of your mother. And so there was a mother's devotion as well as a mother's pain. But now let's turn to probably what is the focus of the passage here. And that is the son's responsibility. Because the scripture focuses on the son. It doesn't focus on his mother, Mary. It focuses on the son. But notice back in John 19, and look at verse 26, where it says, and when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, the disciple whom he loved, that's a little term, John who's writing this, that's a phrase he uses of himself. The disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Now again, this is so remarkable, and it shows the impeccable character of our Lord. As we mentioned last week, you know, even when he was physically weak, he was spiritually strong, and he's praying for his enemies. And now here he is dying on the cross and shedding his blood for the sins of humanity. And while he is redeeming humanity, while he is doing this great work of salvation and redeeming humanity, Jesus did not neglect family responsibility. Think about it. He's doing the greatest work that has ever happened in the creation of the world and redeeming sinners. But in the midst of this great work, he sees his mother and he does not neglect his responsibility that he has to his mother. And so responsibility, this word responsibility, I would say is the main word for the second crossword. I mean, what is the main thing that we can get from this second saying where our Lord, in the midst of his dying and he notices his mother, he is taking responsibility for her care. He is making sure that as he can no longer be there physically for her, he is making sure that someone will be. And that is because Mary was a widow by this time in her life. We can kind of deduce that from this. And so his mother was a widow. And because she was a widow, Jesus, being the eldest son, had the responsibility for the care of his mother after his stepfather, Joseph, had died. Joseph is no longer in the scene. And so who is going to take care of Mary? Who is going to take care of the widow? Well, Jesus had this responsibility, and so he's taking care of this responsibility. And what a remarkable example this is of our Lord. You know that Jesus came to fulfill the law that he wrote. I mean, we just got through with going through a series in the Ten Commandments, and the fifth commandment is that we are to honor our father and our mother. Jesus gave the law, and he said, and when he came, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. I came to do it. And the fifth commandment, we are told that we are to honor our parents. We are to honor our mother, and this means we are to care for them, especially when they cannot care for themselves. In fact, Jesus gets into a whole big debate with the religious leaders of their day because they were taking money away from what should be caring for their aging parents, and they were giving it to the church. And Jesus said, this is all wrong. Children have a duty to care for their parents. In fact, we see this instruction to the church in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just read this. Sure, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 4, we read that if any widow has children or grandchildren, so this was Mary's case, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Think of all the care that your parents have given you and all the pain they went through in raising you. It is just our responsibility to make some return. And so here Jesus, even upon the cross and in part of his dying breath, is arranging for and providing for the care of his widowed mother. And Jesus here is commending his mother's care to his best friend John. He's standing there, and he notices his mother standing by the cross, and he notices John there, the disciple whom he loves, and he says to his mother, behold your son. Mary, look there at John. Now Mary, consider him your son. And John, look over there at Mary. You consider her your mother and you take care of her. You make sure that she's looked after. I tell you, one of the sacred seven that Jesus set upon the cross, one of the sacred seven is about a sacred responsibility that children have in honoring their parents. Because if one of Jesus' last words was about providing for his widowed mother, then I would say that family responsibility is a very high priority. Our Lord thought so. It was part of his last seven words that he gave while he was paying for our sins. In fact, we read in that same passage in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, it says that if anyone does not provide for his own family, then he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I mean, we are called to this responsibility. We are not to forsake our father's instruction, and we are not to forsake our mother's when she is old. We read in Proverbs 23, verse 22. We are to obey them, our parents, when we are young, and we are to honor them when they are old. And that's what Jesus is doing here by his example. I mean, behold your mother, woman, behold your son, take care of my mother. John, there is the son's responsibility. But then lastly, notice a new family. There is a new family that is made right here at the foot of the cross of Jesus. What an analogy that is. But there is a new family made right here, a family with Mary becoming the mother of John, and John seeing Mary as his mother. Now this is kind of interesting to think about, because you know that Jesus had six other siblings. They all had the same mother, though they had a different father. Joseph was just Jesus's stepfather. But let me just read this in Matthew 13. Verses 55 and 56, read this little interesting little a note here where people are questioning Jesus and his teaching, and they say in Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Here they were like, man, where'd this guy come from? He's a carpenter's son. We know Mary. That's his mother. And we know his four brothers. There's James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas. I mean, there's four brothers. There's some sisters, you know, so there's at least two sisters. And so Jesus had at least six siblings. And so think about this here at the cross of Christ. Mary had at least seven kids, so why is it that Jesus commended her care not to one of his brothers, not to one of his sisters, but he commended her care to his best friend John? Isn't that interesting? I mean, he says, John, look at your mother, and Mary, woman, look at John, and he's now your son. Now, I'm reading between the lines here a little bit, but I think that Jesus did this because his brothers did not believe. His family, at least at this point, were not in the faith. We read in John chapter 7 in verse number 5 that his brothers were kind of egging him on, and it says real plainly, his brothers did not believe. I mean, I mentioned the passage earlier in Mark 3:21 where the family comes to him and they're trying to get him away from the crowds, and you know, probably embarrassed a little bit. You know, what's all this going on? They're trying to hide him out. They think he's insane, that he's lost his mind. His brothers did not believe, and I'm sure Mary had some doubts. She's treasuring these things up in her heart, but the siblings did not believe. They were not a family of faith. And do you know that the faith is to be foremost in life? The faith is foremost in life, and it is what makes family. In fact, there was another occasion where Jesus was teaching and his mother and brothers came to see him in the crowds. The word went through the crowds and they told Jesus, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here to see you. And he says, who is my brother, mother? And who is my brother? And looking around at his disciples, and he says, the one who does the will of my Father, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother. You see, when Jesus was giving the care of his mother over to his best friend John, Jesus was providing for her spiritual needs as well as her physical needs. I'm sure the other siblings could have taken care of the physical needs, but they could not minister to her spiritual needs. And the family of faith is a new family that Jesus creates right there at the foot of the cross. He takes two people who are not blood related and he makes them relations. He makes them a family of faith. I tell you, John could provide what mothers or what Mary's other kids couldn't. A spiritual encouragement. Only John could see to that. And so Jesus saw to it that she not only had her physical needs cared for, but her spiritual needs. In fact, there's a little note. Look at the end of verse number 27 in John 19. And then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. He's talking to John. He says, you know, look at her as your mother. Behold your mother. And then from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. From that very hour, from the time of his death, John puts his arm around the grieving mother of Jesus, Mary, and he takes her home. You're moving in with me. I've got you. You were there for him. I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to take care of you. The day of her son's death, she moves into Jesus's best friend's house. Into John's house. And oh, this is so good. This right here will be worth the price of admission. So if you're ready to go. 3 days later, Peter and John get some word. They hear a message from Mary Magdalene. Guys, I was at the tomb this morning and it's empty and the stone's been rolled away and there's an angel there and she runs and she tells Peter and John this amazing, almost unbelievable news. And Peter and John, what do? They hear the news. They're one of the three, one of the best friends. They take off running and they run to the tomb and John outruns Peter and he gets to the tomb first and John stands there at the tomb and he is peering inside the tomb and he looks and he sees the linen clothes just kind of laying there and he's looking in, you know, what in the world's going on here? Then Peter arrives a moment later. He lumbers in. He's a little bit slower. It's like me trying to race Titus. Titus outruns me. But eventually Peter gets there and he lumbers in and he just barrels right on in there and he sees the clothes and he sees the face cloth folded and over by itself in a different location. And then John says, I think I'm going to go on in. And look at John chapter 8 and hear the eyewitness testimony. It's John chapter 20 and verse number 8. And so the other disciple, the one who came to the tomb then also entered. That's him. That's John. This other disciple who first came to the tomb and then also entered. And he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples, Peter and John, the disciples went away again to their own homes. What did they do after they were there on that resurrection morning? And Peter and John, they ran to the tomb and then John ran home. He ran to his own house. Not to the upper room and to the other disciples. He ran to his own home. Why? Why did John run home? He runs home to Mary to tell her that her son had risen from the dead. At the death, he had taken her into the home, and she was there, right at the place she needed to be to get some of the first words, the first news of the resurrection. Oh, the new family sure comes in handy, does it not? The new family that Jesus had provided for his mother was just what she needed for her faith. And at that moment, even the sons of her flesh could not give it to her because they had not yet believed. They could not encourage her in the way that John could. Now the scripture tells us that eventually at least two of Jesus' brothers did come to believe, and maybe at that point they took over the care of Mary. I don't really know, just surmising there. But here there is a new family made at the foot of the cross. A family of faith that encourages each other in the faith as well as provides for each other in the flesh. And so on this Mother's Day, the crosswords are about devotion. There is a mother's devotion that we see, and I hope we can appreciate. We also see pain, a mother's pain. We see some responsibility, the son's responsibility to his own mother. But then we see a family, a new family at the cross of Christ. Who are Christ's mother and brother and sister? Who is his family? The ones who believe. The ones who do the will of God. They are his brother, sister, and mother. I hope you're in the family this day. And I hope we take our responsibility to our mothers of the flesh as well as our mothers in the faith. We appreciate them for their devotion and for their pain. And we embrace each other in this family of faith. Well, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a concluding hymn of invitation. What are we singing?
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence day.
Glad you're here on this Lord's Day, and if you enjoy the rest of the Lord's Day, as it's also doubles for us as Mother's Day. Don't come back tonight because we won't be here, and so enjoy a time with your family, and hopefully it'll be a time of faith in your family. Well, let us be dismissed with the word of a benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you, and may you have peace on this day and in all of your days and on that final judgment day. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.